Welcome everyone to Dragon Quest FM, where we talk about and obsess over Dragon Quest. I'm Austin.
And I'm BJ.
And this week we are talking a little bit about Dragon Quest XI, revisiting Dragon Quest XI, because I'm currently replaying it. I mentioned that whenever we were getting all nostalgic for our like comfort food games.
Yep.
And I was like, okay, well, I guess I'll play this. And I decided to play vanilla DQ11 because
not even S,
because in my mind, I like the vanilla version better. I think the pacing of the game is much better without all those side stories in there. Don't get me wrong. I like the side stories, but it completely messes up the narrative for me. Like I like it much better with that not jammed into the center of the story the way it is.
Okay.
And so I decided to play 11 because I have not played vanilla 11 since 2018. I played it when it was new in 2018. And then since then, I've played the 3DS version of Dragon Quest 11. I went with the chibi 3D look, not the 2D. And then I've played 11S and beaten it twice on both times on Switch. And then I have like messed around with the 2D version of 11S quite a bit on Switch too. And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to go back to vanilla Dragon Quest XI. This is a game that I've played a whole lot in the last like 5 years, four and a half years.
God, how long has it been? Yeah.
Yeah, it was like fall 2018. So this is what, spring 2023. So like 4.5 years around there. And I've played it a lot. And I decided, you know what? It's time to go back to vanilla 11 and just see what it's like, because admittedly, like in my mind, there's some things that I've realized even from replaying it that is in 11S that wasn't in 11 that I just in my mind was in 11 to begin with.
Like
battle speed, adjusting battle speeds, like you could do it really super fast in 11S.
Yeah.
You mess with it. And I forgot that wasn't in the vanilla version of 11. You actually, you know, it feels like just normal paced turn-based combat.
Huh. Well, I'll be.
And just tiny things like that. The 11, vanilla 11, you know, has crossbows, the crossbow mini game.
Yeah.
Which I have still enjoyed doing. And I don't know why they took that out of 11S, because I still like doing it. Like even in the earlier parts of the game, I don't remember where they all are or anything. And I just saw it and I was like, oh, crossbow target. Yay. And kind of got like nostalgic. Yeah. I got sentimental for a crossbow target. I was like, oh, I remember this. And so it's just been, it's been fun doing that. But also it's been a little weird too, because I played 11S all the way up through where the demo ends on PS5. And I'm playing the PS4 disc version of Vanilla 11 on the PS5, but it's still like it looks beautiful, but it's not as like optimized as 11S is. And you can really tell in places that is just like there's a subtle differences in quality there. But yeah, I mean, overall, I've been having a really good time with it. So all of this is to just say that I decided that like doing a short little episode on revisiting Dragon Quest XI sounded fun for today, because there are some things that I thought were kind of neat that I wanted to talk about. I figured what better place than here? What better time than now? Because I'm also playing Tony Hawk right now. So see, it all goes back. I'm playing American Wasteland, not Pro Skater 1 or 2.
So I dreamed the other night, talking about that, I dreamed the other night that I was able to find American Wasteland on PS5 on the PlayStation Store. And I don't remember if it was like a remaster or anything like that, but I found it on the PlayStation Store. And then like the next day I'm sitting there, I'm actually playing Tony Hawk 1 or 2. And I was like, wait a second, was that a dream, or did I actually do that and not buy it? So I had to go searching for it. And I got really sad because it was a dream where I wanted it on there, and I don't know where my GameCube copy of American Wasteland is. And so I'm like, it wasn't in the binder where I thought it was. So I may have gotten rid of Tony Hawk 3 and American Wasteland. But yeah, I dreamed about it that I wanted to play it so much.
Yeah, I actually, I've got my whole PS2, you know, like set up downstairs now. And I'm at the very end of American Wasteland now. I think I'm probably going to go and play Tony Hawk's Underground after this, because I'm still kind of in the mood for Tony Hawk. But then after that, I think I might try a Dragon Quest VIII on PS2 playthrough. I have the PS2, I have a memory card now, and I have Dragon Quest VIII on PS2, but I've never actually played the PS2 version. So I'm like, hey, might as well. I've only played Dragon Quest VIII the one time. So I'm kind of like, maybe I'll try it on PS2. Not going to guarantee that I beat it, but I'm going to at least try to replay it. And yeah. I thought that can make some fun episodes down the line. But I'm also like, whenever I get done with 11, I'm wanting to check out Slime Mori Mori 3. It's just, I'm trying not to juggle too many video games at once, because I want to give them all the time they deserve, I guess.
Yeah, and right now I'm playing Chained Echoes, actually. After you had recommended it, I wanted to play it. And have really been enjoying it, that. And I'm thinking about getting Octopath Traveler 2. I know I have not been wanting to play long games, and of course that's the one I'm thinking about. But I really enjoyed the little bit of the demo I played. Much better than the first one.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, Chained Echoes, I love. And if anybody listening, go play Chained Echoes. It's super good. Yeah, it was my game of the year for 2022.
Totally see why. I know you had mentioned it might be. I didn't know if that was actually something you had listed.
Yeah. So, I love it. Octopath Traveler 2, I've had zero interest in because of how much I disliked the first one and just how much I have not really enjoyed Team Asano games. I have not even checked out the demo or anything on Octopath 2. But
I do have to say, for people like you and me both who didn't like the HD 2D blur thing that they do, this one, when you turn it off on the PS5, at least it made a difference. That it made a real difference in how the world looked and how fuzzy and weird the headache it gave you was. At least on the PS5 version that I'd played the demo on, that actually did make a difference this time, unlike the first version.
Oh, okay. Well, that's cool.
So it maybe that would work. I know you still don't like the whole thing, but I did turn it off, and it made the visuals much more bearable, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess the way to put it.
I think it's the game. Like, I just don't like Octopath Traveler. Like, there's just so many things about it I just don't like.
Which is understandable.
Like, the Live Alive, that was Team Asano, and that was fine. Like, I played through it, and it was fine because it was, like, a remake, I guess.
Right.
Whereas, like, just the Octopath Traveler 2, like, systems and stuff, I'm just like, not for me.
Yeah. I didn't think it was going to be for me, but I keep, like, trying to make myself, like, not spend the money on it. Where I'm like, you're not going to play all the way through it. You're not going to play all the way through it. Wait till it's on sale. Wait till it's on sale. But I'm like, it's so fun in the demo. So, that's how I talk to myself.
Yeah. Some of the most fun that I've been having with Dragon Quest XI is I decided the whole purpose of this, of me replaying it, other than, like, you know, I realized I hadn't, you know, checked it out in a while whenever we were recording the episode, was that I was like, you know what? I've played this game so much. I'm sure there's stuff I haven't found in the game or haven't done in the game before that I just want to try to get familiar with. So I've been using the party chat a whole lot more than I ever have.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I haven't found anything, like, super great yet, you know? Like, there's some fun ones that get shared around online a lot, and there's some that, you know, I've seen before, but it's like, for the most part, at least where I am now, and I'm probably 15 to 20 hours into it.
Okay.
Where I'm at now, like, most of it is just kind of like them giving you game hints, like telling you where to go. Right. Like, Eric will be like, we have to hurry and get to blah 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 blah, and it's just like, yep, I know that, thanks.
Thanks, Legolas.
But there's some cool but still I've been trying to do that kind of stuff, and, like, early on in the the like tutorial, I guess, for lack of a better word, where you're climbing up the sanctuary with Gemma and Sandy in your party. I like, I never really hung around enough to see what all Gemma can do because she's not really in your party. Like, she can't be attacked. And a lot of the time it's like, it's just like, Gemma cheers you on from afar, and it's just kind of like, what good are you? Why are you here? And I mean, I hate Gemma just as a character, and like, in relation to the story of DQ11 and just everything. Like, she has no personality, serves like no purpose other than just being like your childhood friend, just extremely generic. And so that kind of goes hand in hand with that generic feeling where I was just like, wow, okay, well, good job. Thanks for cheering me on. I'm glad the game is pausing to tell me this. But I figured out, and this is not necessarily new information or anything, but I figured out that she will actually heal you. I just sat there for a little while. I guess that early in the game, like, you don't really ever have to be healed, because a lot of times you can just, you can either like one hit or two hit the like enemies, and you have Sandy in your party too. But if you sit there and just like let the slimes beat you up, Gemma will heal you, and apparently has like an unlimited supply of medicinal herbs that she'll just throw on you if you just sit there and if you just sit there and take the hits. Yeah. So I sat there for a while, and, she would always heal me. So I think it's their way of not letting you die. I think it may be impossible I think it might be impossible to die during that portion. Which is something I never really thought about. Yeah, it makes sense, but something I never really thought about. And so I just kind of sat there and spent
the time.
Spent like 10, 15 minutes just letting stuff really, like, you know, bonk on me. And yeah, she would throw healing herbs on me, medicinal herbs. So I don't think you can die. No matter how hard you try, I don't think it'll let you. But it's stuff like that. It's just kind of goofy things like that where I'm like, you know what? I play this game so much. I'm just going to like mess around and see.
Mess around and experiment and see what you can figure out.
Yeah, see what happens. And so it's stuff kind of like that. But then also it's just like it's interesting to me too on the other side of this is that as much as I've played it, like, I feel like I'm still picking up on some things where I'm like, oh, this is neat. Like in the Mangle Grove, one of the first areas you go to after, you know, you and Eric team up and you have to go and like a tricky devil has turned the carpenter guy into a dog. Right.
Yep.
And I was getting to that stuff and I was like, oh, hey, cool. This is kind of like a neat little callback to like Dragon Quest II, for example, where Moonbrook is a dog. When you first run into her and you have to get her little curse lifted to get her to be back into a human, and just like little things like that where I'm like, this is neat. Like, I never really picked up on that, but this could totally be one of those like Dragon Quest callbacks that you see a lot in 11. And I mean, there's a lot of them. I feel like I've mentioned this where it's like the Puff-Puff. Where you can go through, and it's just like the one in DQ3 where it's like you follow the lady up through, you lay on the bed or whatever, and then it's the Tuffy guy is like talking. Like, there's those kind of things which I feel like are more like immediate. And then there's this plot line in Hado, you know, that's very much like Japan in 3 with the dragon and everything. There's just like a lot of things like that that I feel like are more noticeable, but this time I feel like I'm kind of like picking up on some more subtle things.
The kind of thing that makes it actually, you look at it as a kind of a piece of art in a way, because it's like you go back and read novels and different kinds of books and you notice new things all the time. Like, that's why you reread stuff, and some games you replay through and you don't really get anything new out of it. But with something like this, it's always really interesting when there are so many things to find, even for somebody who knows as much about the game as you do.
Yeah, for sure. And there's like, I don't know. There's like other stuff that I noticed that I think comes from, like, the first time I was playing, I didn't really know what to expect. It's a new game. I'm playing it for the first time.
Yeah.
And then playing the 11S versions later on, it was like I knew where stuff was. So, like, for example, in Heliodor, when you're in Heliodor for the first time, and there's that, like, kind of introductory side quest where it's like you go and find the book. It's like I would run straight to that book, and I would get it. And I was like, oh, I remember how to get up on top of this roof and find and open this treasure chest. And I remember where this little kid's cat is on this roof. And just things like that, where it was like when I've played 11S those times, you know where the stuff is at this point. And so, like, I have found whenever I was in Heliodor at one point, I found like a little corner in an area that I'm sure I explored on my first playthrough, but then in like subsequent playthroughs, it's just like I ran to the stuff I needed and and then left. But I noticed that there's actually a little corner where there's two posters. There's two posters hanging up in the corner, and one is advertising the circus where you're going to meet Silvando, and the other one is advertising the fighting tournament.
Oh.
And they're just the one like with plastered.
Victor. Vince, yeah.
Vince. Keith.
I can't think of names. My God. You know me.
One of those kind of.
I think his name is Keith.
I don't want to say generic, but like common. Keith. Common,
an
like
ordinary person's name,
like good, like you don't. It's almost like good guy names. Like no one names their villain Keith. No one names their. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like Keith has good energy.
It's true.
Like Keith is your friend who brings you like a muffin because he's thinking about you.
It's true.
And he's not like Keith is not someone who's like making blood sacrifices in a forest somewhere. I get it. Yeah, Vince is like your,
right.
your buddy. He's a good guy. Yeah, and Keith has like good guy energy. Yeah, I can get why.
Yeah, it's like Keith is going to be the one to do this.
But it's the fighting stuff where you Vince and like Jade and Rab and everybody. Where I thought that was cool, where I don't, if I had noticed that before, it had never like, really latched on. And maybe they're plastered in other cities too, but I just happened to be in like one corner of Heliodor and was like, hey, that's some cool like foreshadowing that these like posters are slapped over here and then you get to see them later on. It's kind of like Final Fantasy IX did a similar thing with Amarant. Long before Amarant ever joins your party, there's lots of places in 9 where you see his wanted poster.
I actually have never noticed that.
Yeah.
I completely forgot about it.
You see his wanted poster, and there's even in Trino, which you get to at the very beginning of Disc 2, there's even one hanging on the wall there, and you can go over and interact with it, and it'll say something about being wanted, and it will say the Flaming Amarant, or whatever is his name, under there. As kind of like a tease that you're going to be getting, that you're going to be encountering this guy later on. And it's kind of a cool reference too, because Trino is when Zidane tricks him. If you watch that ATE, that's where Zidane tricks him. And he first becomes like a quote unquote wanted criminal. And everything. So there's like lots of cool little connections. And so anytime I can find that in other games, it's always exciting. And so that's kind of what it reminded me of. In DQ11 here was the Amarant wanted posters in FF9, which I thought was cool.
Yeah, that is neat.
Before we talk just a little bit more about DQ11, though, I think it's time for a little shameless self-promotion.
Shameless. It's like Jitterbug, but shameless.
Yeah.
Shameless.
Yes. I can definitely picture Michael J. Fox playing that at prom. Yeah. That's a Back to the Future reference.
It is. Good job.
Thanks. No cake this week. But anyway, going back to our shameless self-promotion, we do have a Patreon page. You can find that over at patreon.com/DragonQuestFM. And just a huge shout out to all of our patrons. And we just really appreciate and are thankful for all of you guys.
Yeah, we really are.
I have nothing shameless to plug myself, do you?
No, I really don't.
We're boring now. There for a while, we had some like...
That's true. We had stuff going on.
Yeah, we had some stuff going on. And then now we don't. For community, we do have a community spotlight this week, though, that I wanted to bring up. Because it's been a while since we've done one. We haven't done one this year yet. But our good friend, Kyrie, who does a lot of Dragon Quest art and sent me some really cool Dragon Quest art in the past, is actually working on like this really cool fan book guide for Dragon Quest, like Dragon Quest 1. And she's been showing her illustrations over on Twitter a lot, and they just look really, really cool. And I'm super excited for this book, and I'm totally going to be buying it whenever it gets finished, because it looks really, really cool. Like, I don't need a guide to play Dragon Quest 1, but I want all the pretty artwork, and I want the funny like little bubbles, like dialogue bubbles that she's given characters and stuff like that. Like, it all just looks really, really cool. You can tell there's a lot of effort that's gone into it.
Right.
I'm excited for that. When it comes out, I'll be sure to mention it on here because I'm personally excited for this. But anyway, so getting back over into Dragon Quest 11 playthrough is one thing that I am a little bit disappointed in. I know I mentioned the speed up combat, but that I'm just like, whatever. I'm fine with just, you know, the OG turn-based combat that was a little slower in 11. The thing that I guess bugs me the most that I had forgotten about is you can't do silly things like dancing beside of NPCs in the vanilla 11 version. And so like you get to like the band and Heliodor. And one of my favorite things, I don't know why you don't get like any kind of achievement or trophy or anything for it. There's no like story beat change. I always love going up to the band that's playing there in Heliodor and like doing my goofy little luminary dance beside of the band. Apparently that doesn't exist in vanilla 11. I did not remember that, and I was really confused because I got there and I was like, I'm gonna dance, and I went over there and I was kind of like, oh, how do you dance? And then I started pushing buttons around, and then I was like, oh wait, I think that was maybe like part of the photo mode edition that 11S had.
Oh, it could have been, yeah, because they added a bunch of stuff like that in for that.
Yeah, and so I've been disappointed that I can't dance with NPCs. I know I've been talking about some interesting things I found in DQ11, but I'm bummed out that I can't dance with strangers.
Yeah, that is odd.
Yeah.
That's the kind of thing I did not even think about being in just 11S.
Yeah, I didn't either, but I just went over there and you can't do it, and now I'm sad, so... Call me Whitney Houston because I want to dance with somebody.
Well, that's it for this week, folks. You can find us.
But yeah, like I really wanted to do that. And also, I know, like going back to Sandy for a minute, I remember in like a few episodes back, you were talking about how disappointed you were that Sandy didn't get to stay in your party.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I totally wish he would.
But when you said that, I was like, why? At the time, in my mind, I was like, why did BJ think that? I remember Sandy like being around with you, but I don't remember like ever being like, oh, she's going to be in my party forever. But then I realized as I was replaying Vanilla 11, like she's actually helps fight alongside of you in your party for a little bit. Like
so it was for a while, and I was like, oh, I'm going to take my dog with me.
Yeah, I never really caught that because I guess it's because it's the tutorial. So I was like, you know, I did it the first time and then forgot. And then subsequent playthroughs, it's kind of like a lot of times when I do subsequent playthroughs of games, like the tutorial sections, you kind of just run it on autopilot where it's like, okay, yeah, I know this. I'll get through all this, but you're not necessarily paying attention. So it didn't click with me then, but then this last time when I was playing it, I was like, oh, okay, I get it now. Yeah. She's actually with you for a good while. Also, shout out while we're on the subject of Sandy. That's kind of one of my favorite gags from DQ11 as well. It's when you come back to your town and Gemma is like, I believe it's after you beat the game, where Jenna is like, guess who's pregnant or something like that to the luminary. And because it's after, I guess you've married Gemma. She's the only option, unfortunately, in Vanilla 11. And anyway, where she's like, it's Sandy, and Sandy has puppies. Anyway, I like that gag. I appreciate that gag in DQ11. I think really just to kind of wrap up here is that like I am very interested because I'm trying to I've been spending a lot of time reading up, kind of like last week I talked about DQ2. Like I've been trying to remember and just focus a lot on DQ11 now. And so like I've pulled out the art book a lot, and I've pulled out like the art book that came with like the collector's edition, that one too. The other art book, you know, is like in Japanese, so I can't necessarily read it, but I mean, it's an art book. Yeah. So you just look at pretty pictures. And I've really been falling in love with DQ11 again. Has been really nice because there's things that like, I have played this game quite a bit, but still, I mean, the game is only like 4 years old for us, at least. I mean, it was 2017 in Japan, but it's only really 4 years old, and I have played it a lot, but there's still like a lot of stuff that I'm still finding out. Like, I don't feel like I know it. I don't feel like I know it like the back of my hand yet. And like FF9 is one of those games that like, I feel like I know like the back of my hand. Like I can pretty much tell you anything about it. But again, I've been playing it like every year for like 23 years or whatever.
Yeah. So how's that like, feel? 23 years.
It feels good. Cause I love the game. But the fact that it's that old now. Yeah. Is kind of like weird.
Yeah.
But anyway, so it's been really cool just getting in and playing with DQ11 again. And I'm not like super far into it. And it's again, I'm like 15 to 20 hours, but that hour time is a little bit skewed because of doing stupid stuff, like sitting there for 10 minutes and just seeing what will happen in the first fight if I just let the slimes attack me nonstop, things like that. I don't know. I'm interested to see where it goes. I'm sure I'll do like a follow-up episode like months from now, whenever I've beaten it again, to see what else, if anything, that I found in here. But I would like to think that there's going to be some good surprises for me and that I don't know everything about this game yet.
Yeah, I mean, which is actually kind of surprising that there's this much to think about, as many times as you've played it, as much as you've written about it and just read up on it. Like, it actually kind of amazes me that just the vanilla DQ11 has surprised you this much with as many things about it that you've either forgotten or just kind of skimmed over or whatever.
Yeah. What I wanted to do with this I wanted to try to stream it as I play it and just have like my commentary as I play it, where I like talk about the game and like just share some fun facts, but also like discovering those posters for what I think was the first time I found them. But just things like that. But it all boils down to just being too busy, really lazy, I guess, if you want to call it that, where it's just like, I don't want to boot up the game, have to stream it, and also like my kids are constantly running around, I would be talking, so it's just like, it's not really possible.
On your audience and how you could bring them in, though, that could be really fun for people to listen to all of your crazy kids running around and getting their commentary on it.
While I try to share fun facts about
DQ11. While you try to share fun facts, you know, Rowan comes by and is like, "Daddy!" And it'd be fun.
Yeah.
I'd listen to that. I think that's funny when that kind of thing happens.
Yeah.
Other people get super embarrassed, and I'm just like, kids are monsters.
It would just be a train wreck, for sure. But anyway, this seemed like the next best thing, because there was a lot of times when I've been playing it that I was just like, oh, I wish, you know, I'd like to talk to this about this with somebody, or I'd like to say this about this thing. And I just was sitting quietly in my living room, and it's like, I can tell Grace, but she doesn't care. I could tell Naomi, and Naomi would nod and be like, but you know, she's not gonna get that much out of it. And so so this was kind of like the next best thing. Let me get it all out without having to go through all those other loops and hurdles. But anyway, I think the other thing you said, it was surprising, but I think in addition to it just being like how great DQ11 is, that I can still find some things that I hadn't noticed before. I think part of it too is how many different versions there are. Like, it makes it really hard to really know everything about everything, because of there being vanilla and the 3DS right. version that has, you know, 2D and 3D, but the 3D is different. And then there is the 11S version that's in that, you know, has yeah. all these new additions. And it's just, it is kind of hard because, I mean, even like the differences in the vanilla version, you know, like over here in the States, we got voice acting and Japan didn't.
Right. I just, that one still baffles me. Like, I just don't get that.
Yeah. I don't know. But anyway, there's just, I think that's part of the reason why I'm still finding stuff is because right. it's like, there's just a lot of content and there's a lot of different versions and you just gotta, so, you know, and two, I like it because I mean, I think I would be disappointed if I were replaying Dragon Quest XI right now. And
right.
it's like, it would be disappointing if I just booted up DQ11 and I just knew everything already and it was all the same. Like, I think I would be bored right now because of, I mean, I love the game. I love the game, but it's like, if once you find everything in it, it's like you would want to speed things along and skip cutscenes and things like that. But I can't speed it along and I haven't tried to skip cutscenes. I can't even remember if vanilla has that option, but I'm actually sitting there and watching the cutscenes, you know, whereas like I mentioned, comparing it again to FF9, like I talked about how I didn't even read speech bubbles sometimes back when I was having all those head problems because it was hurting to read, but I knew what Kuja was saying. So I just
right.
like pressed the X button. And it's like, I'm not quite there yet with DQ11, so I don't want to skip cutscenes or anything. Like, I know all the highlights and the plot points, the how to get to A to B to Z, you know, kind of stuff yeah. with the plot, but it's not the same. And so I think, you know, I think one day I will probably get to the point where with DQ11, it's like, I want to go through things fast and I want to skip some cutscenes because I know them by heart already.
Right.
But I haven't gotten there yet. Yeah, I haven't gotten there yet. And so it's been fun. It's been fun. That's the takeaway.
It's been fun.
If you skipped if you skipped the last like 32 minutes of this episode, just it's been fun. Goodbye.
It's been fun. Yep.
But anyway, if you want to talk to us on Twitter, you can find us at Dragon Quest FM. Remember, we also have that Patreon, patreon.com/DragonQuestFM. And you can find me personally on Twitter at Dragon Questin.
You can find me on Twitter as at Professor Beej. Find me on Mastodon at beej@dice.camp. You can talk to us on Discord at discord.geektogeekmedia.com. And you can give us your money and support the podcast at patreon.com/DragonQuestFM.
Thanks, everybody, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.